No matter how cute and cuddly animals look, most of them wouldn't think twice about messing you up if given half the chance.
You'd think we'd learn our lesson and keep our distance from them, but it seems some folks just have to jump into a giant aquarium with a killer whale, or share a glass of Chardonnay with a monkey who's off their meds. In the end, someone is gonna get hurt.
Today, comedian Andy Main joins us to take a look at terrifying and hilarious animal attacks that she's talked about on her podcast, PETA, People Enjoying Terrible Accidents.
Plus, Andy's new comedy album, Magpie. Was Vice President Mike Pence's childhood nickname really Bubbles?
Call me Bubbles, darling. Everybody does. And the funny way Andy dealt with Louis C.K. admitting to being a sexual predator. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion. And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you.
We're starting off our 16th season of podcasting here at Feast of Fun, and we couldn't do it without people just like you who took the time out of their day to sign up and become a Plus member at feastoffun.com/plus, or to join us at Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
We are so grateful for your support, because without your money, you couldn't have Feast of Funty.
Enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hi, is this Andy Main?
Yeah, how's it going?
We're great, Andy. How are you doing today? This is Mark.
I'm a monkey.
My husband, Fausto, who likes to swing from the trees.
How you doing, girl?
Is that legal? I'm doing good.
In Illinois, you can smoke the trees now as of January 1st.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, and you're in Colorado, too. So we're siblings of the pot states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coolest states.
I mean, like, I grew up in Oregon, then I moved out to Colorado, and it'd be weird if I was in a state where you couldn't buy weed. I'd be like, what the hell, guys? Catch up. It's 2020.
You know? Get girl, with it. Girl. Bernie says on day one.
Day one? Hell yeah, Bernie.
Hell yeah. Feel the burn. Burn that joint.
I'm sure Bloomberg also supports.
No, he doesn't.
Well, I'm sure Pete Booty does support.
No, I don't think he does.
No.
Well, what about Biden?
No.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Sorry. I'm not sure where Warren's at. Where is she at with that?
She'll legalize it.
Yeah.
She'll smoke a peace pipe.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Andy, you have a new album out called Magpie. And this, yeah. I just learned in your comedy set, because you gave us a track to listen to, you divulged that Mike Pence's childhood nickname was Bubbles.
Yeah, I read that in The Atlantic. There was just like in 2017 or so when I wrote that joke.
That's like a child burlesque star or what? I mean, what? How do you get the name Bubbles?
Call me Bubbles. Everybody does.
I think because he grew up in such a weird, wholesome environment. And I mean like quasi wholesome, like, you know, 1950s values.
Mm-hmm.
They just call you Bubbles when you're a young boy and no one thinks it's weird. They also ate horrible jello and like mayonnaise on everything, so you know that was just part of his culture, his proud culture.
It was his brother Greg who gave him the nickname because he was such a happy child.
Oh really?
Isn't that make you sad though?
That he was a happy kid.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Mike Pence at one time was a beautiful baby who laughed and played and
had fun
and didn't stare at Trump. Yeah,
and now he's like, what do you want me to do now?
Married to mommy.
Yeah. Part of me as a humanist, when I see like a fascist person, part of them is dead inside and it makes me want to go out and hug them or heal them to some degree, you know?
Yeah. I've never had that inclination, but that now that makes me feel like a bad person. So thank you.
Well, you've gone through a lot this past year. You moved cities. You upgraded your dating relationships.
Oh my God. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I did. It was like a midlife crisis, right? At the age of 38, I left my partner of 15 years in my hometown. And then,
What gender identity did this partner have?
Oh, he was a guy.
Okay. So you were in like a heterosexual marriage.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't legally married, but yeah, it was a 15-year relationship. So, yep, it was exactly like a divorce. It just wasn't as expensive because we just divvied things up ourselves amicably. We didn't need lawyers. We just did it.
Who got to keep the Cuisinart?
I did. he got the dog.
Oh no.
I know. I just made it sad.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what prompted the move then from Portland? Was it the breakup? You were just like, I have to get so far away from you. I'm moving to another state.
Denver just happens to have the best comedy scene in the world. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. There's just really great stage time with tons of supportive crowds most nights of the week at multiple shows. And, you know, it's not that much bigger than Portland, but for some reason, people go out more in Denver. In Portland, everyone just stays at home and reads books.
Is it the rain?
Could be. I don't know.
Because it's like here in Chicago, it can be a blizzard outside and guys will still want to hook up on the sex apps and whatnot. But like if it's raining, just a drizzle, forget it. Like there's something about the wet coming down from the sky is enough to stop people from leaving the house.
Yeah. I'd say out here when it snows, people get hornier.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where is this magical place called Denver, and how can I get to it?
That's just something that I've learned on the apps is dudes are like, hey, want to have snow sex? Like, that's totally a thing.
And you go over to their house, and you've got, like, I have 10 layers of clothes on. Give me a minute. Just take your time. I'll be back in the bedroom.
I nearly died to get here. No, I haven't. I haven't done snow sex before. It's been suggested, but it never materialized.
Well, I'm a big fan of seeing these hunks and, you know, beautiful women too, on the internet, throwing themselves naked into a pile of snow and their bodies are steaming, you know, and you're like, you're insane.
Where do you see that at?
Just all over, you know, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Grindr, BGC, Christian Mingles. You know. The key thing about this is the fact that people feel so comfortable and so happy and warm that they're going to toss their bodies onto a giant pile of snow.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me doing that. That's for sure.
I love the ones where they toss themselves they toss themselves on this like thing and it's ice and they think they're going to break through the ice or something and they don't. And they just like land and they slide a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
You're like, ouch, that has to hurt.
But Andy, so are you like getting, you're now single and ready to mingle and your heart's healed to some degree and you're going out and dating people, anybody, right?
I'm bi and I wouldn't call myself poly so much as like people, like that's just an aspect of dating at this point, you know, like before a relationship develops, you're just seeing a few different people.
So pretty much you're swiping right all the time. You're like, yep.
I go through binges and purges, man. Like, I can't handle that Tinder life all day, every day. It's exhausting.
I had a cousin. He was from Puerto Rico. He moved to Texas, and he became a Trump supporter.
Whoa!
Yeah, he was like, escaping the consequences of Hurricane Maria.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing him on Tinder, and he's just going, right. Like every single person, I'm like,
that's what men do on Tinder. They swipe right for every single woman and just hoping one will answer back.
Then you get a notification that you have a match and then you check your match queue and you see that they matched with you for 1 second and then they unmatched with you. So it's just a notification that pops up on your phone that someone coincidentally swiped right on you and thought you weren't hot and canceled you. That's happened so many times.
Oh,
I hate when that happens. You know, I'm a married person, but you know, I like to. I'm a people person, and I just went up and up these apps. It feels like I'm walking into like a bus terminal, you know, and it's like everybody's just asking me, handing me brochures, and trying to. You know what I'm saying? Like it just feels like I'm a little bit leery of it. at this point.
Oh yeah.
There's one TV show on Netflix where the woman hooks up with a guy and he turns out to be like a serial killer.
You.
Have you watched that?
I've heard of it. Are you implying that I'm going to get fucked by a serial killer?
Well, that's what everybody says, right? You're going to date somebody and it's like, it's going to turn out to be the serial killer. And two things will either happen. You wind up being the victim, or two, he makes you an accomplice.
A co-killer?
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Maybe you can kill him.
Or flip the tables on him and put him into the prison cell of his own making.
Wow. Or I could just meet him in a public place and figure out if he's a serial killer before I fuck him.
There should be some kind of test for that, right?
Well, that's what you the series, there's no way of knowing that the person you're dating is a serial killer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they hide in plain sight.
You can never prove that someone isn't a serial killer until they kill someone in front of you and then you know they are. That's the real problem there. Huh.
So basically love everybody equally until they murder someone.
Yeah.
Andy, your new album, your comedy album called Magpie, which is a bird, and you also have magpies tattooed on your forearms, the bird. Yeah. What's the significance of magpies to you?
I got the first magpie tattoo in the taking off position after I visited Denver for a week about 13 months ago, and I knew that I had to move there. And I saw those magpies out in Denver, so it was like a symbolic tattoo where it was like, okay, you have this really scary decision to make, and you have to do it. And if you don't do it, you'll always look at your forearm and see that you should have done it.
Oh.
Dare to myself, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the second one in the taking off position the same day I recorded my album, because I was like, hell yeah, I did it.
Okay.
Isn't Heckle and Jekyll the cartoon? There were talking magpies.
You know, I've been lying here thinking. With what, chum? Brains, old boy, brains. Yeah? Well, what have you been thinking
about? I say, old chum. What are you gonna...
Well, I know there were crows and magpies are part of
the... The first was called the talking magpies.
Ah, maybe. Yeah.
You're confusing the crows from Dumbo with the racist ones with the family-friendly Terry Toons Heckle and Jekyll.
Okay.
They even had a show in the 80s. Again, like they were...
They had a reprise?
Yeah, they look with Mickey Mouse, they rebooted them.
Mm.
And it was like, you know, every little gay boy who's like hot for a muscle daddy, it had a crush on Mickey Mouse. I'm sorry, Mighty Mouse.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say Mickey Mouse is a muscle daddy.
Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Daddy Mouse.
Oh, my God. It's so hot.
Well, magpies are super smart birds, too. It's like they're like anything that's going to rise on this planet and bring back the age of dinosaurs, it's probably going to be the magpies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They're going to fuck you shit up, honey. It's like Jurassic Park all over again, but with, you know, feathers.
Because I was like, well, let me learn a little bit more about magpies before I talk to you about this kind of thing. And I didn't realize that they were all over this country, that they were like everywhere. And just like the Europeans, when they got here, they were just like, they were like, we are going to kill every last one of these fucking birds.
Oh, that sounds like a European.
Yeah.
Well, at the University of Texas at Austin, they have a condition, because it is very controversial, of a bird called a grackle. There are everywhere. And in the fall, they love to hang out in these oak trees that they have all over the place, right? It was such a problem that things were getting covered in grackle shit.
Yeah.
And they were terrifying. And so the University of Texas started doing sound cannons to scare them off.
Mm-hmm.
It caused like this ecological disaster, like in the sound cannons.
Sure.
Yeah, it was just like
how
a huge
something
mess.
Like a sound cannon started an ecological disaster. I can't see that. I don't understand.
But they got rid of the birds, and they never came back.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now the birds are elsewhere. You know,
they were in giant flocks though too, and I'm not sure of magpies. Do they do a giant? They do murders, right?
That's a crow.
Crows are murders.
But they're a type of
crow. I see magpies. I see them in like family units out here of like 20 or 30.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're a part of the crow family, so they must be a murder too.
Yeah.
But I guess the Europeans were really scared of them because they had this idea that these animals would attack deer and other cattle and like gouge their eyeballs out. And so you'd have this poor animal suffering, or that they'd like try and like take larvae out of the skin of a cow and they wouldn't stop at the larvae. They would just like keep on pecking until the cow got like some kind of infection and died. And then they would eat them.
Like, I covered them on my podcast once, just for one story. It was an episode about birds specifically. Mm-hmm. And, like, magpies go for, like, the most sensitive part of the animal, like, eyes and groin. Like, and they defend their... Yeah. They know... They'll go and attack a man's dick. Like, they know that primates are sensitive in their genitals, and they will fucking stab you in the dick.
We need to take a break. Andy, we're going to be right back with Andy Main talking about people enjoying terrible accidents when animals attack and the hilarious consequences. We'll be right back.
All right.
And we're back. Yay.
Hey, we did it.
So you have this wonderful comedic podcast about vegetarians making fun of people who've been murdered by animals. And when I think about like people being killed by animals, I think of Steve Irwin and that manta ray.
Stingray.
Oh, for
Stingray.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We covered that on an early episode.
Shot to the heart.
Yeah. The weird part. The weird part is that he wasn't even supposed to be in the water that day. Like he was just doing like some extra filming. Mm-hmm. He had no reason to be in the water. And then he was also in shallow water. And that's what scared the stingray, is that it saw his shadow and it like stabbed him in the heart like 400 times.
It makes me think about all those times he had his children in his arms as he's feeding crocodiles like meat. And I'm like, at least it killed him and not like ate one of his babies. You know what I'm saying? Like his wife would have been so pissed.
Yeah, it's I guess there's always a best case scenario for something like that.
Well, his kids are so cute, and they really picked up his mantle, and his love of the outdoors and love of animals, it really shines through his kids. So the stingray got his, like, stabbed him in the heart, like, many, many times?
Yeah, not 400, like I said, but a lot of times,
Like, how many times? Like, more than once? Twice?
I think maybe, like, 30 times or something, I'm guessing. I can't quite remember.
So it was like a sewing machine, like, kind of going in?
That's exactly what I was looking for. Yeah, it was like a sewing machine. Yeah.
Wow.
How is that even like possible? Like, I guess it went backwards, like it was going dee, 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 and then stuck his needle in and out. I mean,
I think so.
Yeah, it must have impaled him and then vibrated, you know, inside him.
He probably was like in some kind of shock and like couldn't move after that or something, right? Or it gets like stuck inside and then it just keeps going. I don't know. Ooh, that's just terrifying. I had no idea. I mean, I knew they were called like stingrays, but I didn't really realize that it was just like impale you and kill you rays.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Puerto Rico, and it's like I've gone snorkeling and seen a barracuda, and it was like I was out of the water in a second.
Yeah, get the hell out of there, dude.
It was big motherfucker, too, and it looked real ugly, too. It
looked, lots of teeth.
It looked at me. It was like...
How long was it?
It's hard to gauge because it was like about, I would say, maybe 15 feet ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Is that, we had
it wasn't a big one.
A comedian friend, and she was attacked by a barracuda, wasn't she?
It bit her in the face.
Yeah, Sabrina Matthews. Yeah. It bit her eye, and she lost part of the vision in her eye from that. Luckily, she survived.
And most of the times, you know, sharks and barracudas and piranhas. Well, maybe not piranhas, but...
Piranhas, you need a lot. You need, like, a critical mass for piranhas to take you out.
Does this really happen? I know this happens in movies like Indiana Jones and stuff where, like, the villain falls into the river and they gets eaten alive by piranhas, you know?
Yeah. I haven't covered piranhas, but that's a good question.
Well, you know, a huge part of piranhas and part of the reason why their teeth actually look like that is because, you know, they live in the Amazon rainforest, right? In the Amazon. And what happens is the Amazon floods...
I think you mean the former Amazon rainforest.
Jesus.
It's not dead yet. And so all these fields and stuff would get flooded and these nuts would fall. And so they use a lot of those teeth just to crack open nuts that have fallen on the floor.
I just like the idea of like this ravenous horde of little fishes, all death by a thousand cuts. It's kind of like micropayments, you know?
Yeah, it's like teamwork.
You gotta get it together.
It's like, hey, you know what? 99 cents for that app. What's the big deal? And then you look at your bill and you're like, oh my God, I'm broke.
Oh yeah.
When I was a kid in the 80s, you know, VCRs were kind of new to the scene. And one of the things that everybody rented was like Faces of Death.
I never watched that, but I remember that era. I was too scared to watch it.
One of the things was this video of this little girl who was at the edge of this pond and this river, and then all of a sudden an alligator just comes out, and it's very dark footage, but like it's almost like a shadow, and you see it and just like take the girl and take it down. And we're all like, oh my God, it was terrifying. You know, and it was portrayed as though these stories were actually real. Like everything you saw on this was actually real.
Was it fake?
Yeah, it was all, and it wasn't, I don't think, until like maybe the past decade or two that the guy who created this came out and was just like, yeah, I mean, we said it was real, but no, it was not real. Like, none of it was real.
So it was like a mannequin?
They just, you know, they did some kind of puppet or something like that, or they did some kind of footage, or they doctored something to make it look as though this little girl is, and she was never seen again.
But I did read a story about an alligator that learned to bark like a dog, and the dogs are like curious to find out who's there.
Yeah. In Indonesia, the alligators would make sounds like dogs, and the dogs would come over to the water to figure out what's going on.
And then they'd eat him?
Yeah, then they'd eat
them. That's rad, dude. I didn't give crocodiles enough credit for that kind of intelligence.
You know, they're almost as smart as magpies.
There's also a very famous video of a cat barking like a dog. But I think it just had something in its throat.
Hell yeah.
Wild. So what are some of your other favorite animals that murdered people stories?
My absolute favorite is about Blackfish. Do you guys know the story of Tillicum the whale?
Yeah. From the documentary.
Yeah. I think Tillicum killed 3 people in total, but the second murder was the very best one. This hippie drifter decided to like break into SeaWorld after hours and climb into an orca tank, like any orca tank, and have like this relationship of some kind with a orca. Like he was schizophrenic or something.
He was like Spock and Journey Home.
Daniel Dukes.
That was the name of the guy.
Oh, the guy that I'm describing right now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so he like climbed in it. Of all the whales, he climbs into Tillicum's tank. Tillicum's the only whale there that's murdered before. And he climbs in and Tillicum drowns him. And then he bites the guy's dick off. Can you imagine what kind of precision it takes for an orca to bite a tiny little cold dick off?
Yeah, I guess they found amazing. The guy's body like floating in the tank, and Tillicum was playing with it like a toy.
Yeah. He had his body draped across his back and was just swimming in circles like, hell yeah, I fucking killed this dude. He was partying.
So he didn't even kind of like really recognize it as food or anything? He was just like, it's a toy?
My theory is that he bit the dick off because he hates the patriarchy. And it was performance art. Yeah.
Yes.
I think Tillicum was doing some performance art. Mm. Yeah.
We can relate to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just surprised that any theme park at this point, and now knowing what we know about killer whales, is that they're still doing stuff with them.
They're not breeding them anymore, which was a major change because of Blackfish. Mm. So they've got that going, but now there's just like this last generation of captive whales.
It almost makes you think of like, you know, is it all it takes is just a documentary to change things?
I mean, I've watched a lot of documentaries about Republicans and not much has changed, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like it's almost like Blackfish was just too easy.
Yeah. Well, it was something that like, it took everyone by surprise because I think we didn't have any idea that what we were doing was so cruel, you know? Mm. And it was just like that level of humanity where it's like, hey, have a think about the animals that you consume. Like that's a part of my podcast that I really care about, is that I make vegetarianism look funny and cool. Unlike PETA, like this is my manifesto behind the podcast. Like PETA drives me crazy. And the reason I'm trolling them is because they make vegetarians look like dickheads. You know, like no one's going to change their mind about eating an animal or not if they read a snarky billboard. Like, it has to come from, like, a more wholesome place where you consider your impact on the environment and the level of cruelty you want to put out in the world. Like, those are the reasons someone should go vegetarian.
And your own health. If you're not eating vegetables, yeah, you know, you're killing yourself.
Well, I know a lot of vegans who are, I'd rather call them a potato chip and pizza vegans.
Oh, yeah. I did that for a long time, too.
I'm aligned with Molly Katzen of the Moosewood restaurant. Are you familiar with her?
No. What's the Moosehead?
Moosewood from
Ithaca, New York,
from near Cornell University. So I don't know if this is like a common thing across the country, or maybe Denver might have this, but there's the phenomena called cooperatives, right? Which is businesses mm-hmm. that are owned by the people who work at them.
Yeah.
And the Moosewood Cooperative is a restaurant in Ithaca, New York, that specializes in mostly vegetarian and some fish dishes. Molly Katzen in the 1980s and 70s introduced vegetarian cuisine to Americans with her book, The Moosewood Cookbook and The Enchanted Broccoli Forest.
Okay.
And her whole idea was kind of like the same approach that you're taking. It's like, look, I can't make people radically change their diet overnight or think about these things different. All I can do is harm reduction. I can encourage. It's not just the animals that we're doing. It's also about your own body and your health and your happiness. Yeah.
Think about the difference it would make as far as the level of cruelty overall on the planet via environmental reduction and, you know, less amount of wildlife, or I mean, not wildlife, domesticated farm animals, like, leading terrible lives. If, like, we cut down eating meat by like 20%, that would be insane. If you just had like one vegetarian meal extra a week, that does so much good right there. Mm.
I think for a lot of people, it's hard to change the way they eat just because people are so tied to food as a form of identity.
Yeah, and it's a form of entertainment.
And so when you offer like a vegan gumbo recipe or something like that, you get a rebellion. You get a thing about it. And
people get mad.
But if you approach it differently and say, hey, you know what? I can show you this really amazing recipe from Mexico for what they call it, carne de soya, or in English, texturized vegetable protein. And it is
better in Spanish,
delightful. Right? And it's not, you don't feel like you're, it's like hummus, you know, no one goes, you know what hummus needs? Bacon grease. No one says that.
Yeah.
Everybody loves hummus and no one's like missing the meat or whatever. And I think, you know, in terms of like, and that's what I like to do with, you know, I was a vegan for 6 years. I ate all kinds of things today, but.
Why did you fall off the wagon?
I love food and I love
muscle. He wanted to get muscle, get big.
Well, I think for me, it was more about. It really was Panda Express. It was the orange chicken.
No, of all the things.
I walked into a Panda Express and I was like, give that to me.
Orange chicken, is that what it was?
It was. I was being made fun of by my friends. Now, you can make vegan orange chicken at home, but a lot of people don't know how to go about it. And that's kind of like where I want to like go in my, I'm a food personality. We do like a cooking show on YouTube and I just want to kind of like show people how to do these kind of things and inspire them to love vegetarian food and not feel like they're missing out on something.
Yeah. I make a really good chicken fried tofu.
Oh, really? What's your recipe?
It's really easy, man. You just take extra firm tofu, you press the water out of it, you dip it in an egg, you dip it in some shake and bake.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then you fry it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to fry it. Tofu fried is super delicious and it absorbs flavors. Don't marinate the tofu beforehand, marinate it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you just put gravy on it with greens and potatoes and it's dope. Yeah, it's really easy.
Now you're getting me hungry.
Well, yeah, go do it. It's fun. And then you get to serve it to your omnivore friends. They're going to be like, oh, tofu. And then they eat it. They're like, oh, everything is I knew was a lie. You know.
Well, so we're lucky because cool we have a tofu production company right around our So we get like fresh tofu.
Down the street.
The street.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And some of it actually comes pre-fried.
Right off the soy truck.
Yes.
Well, one thing we've gotten really excited about is baking our own bread at home.
And cool.
A lot of people are just so intimidated by this. But a while back, I was researching, trying to do a show about Jenny Jones, the talk show host.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That was a golden era that no longer exists of trashy talk shows.
She's still around, though, but she's cooking now on YouTube.
Oh, is she cooking like the nutritional equivalent of her television show?
No, she's actually an amazing chef. So Jenny Jones has this amazing history. Yeah. She was like a Las Vegas showgirl. She was a drummer. She was a stand-up comedian who won Star Search. She did this talk show. A gay guy came out on a crush on her show. And then afterwards, they had sex, and one of the guys killed the other guy.
Mm-hmm. I remember that a little bit.
And it was such a scandal that they canceled the show. And mm-hmm. so she just kind of took her money and just kind of licked her wounds. I think she fell in love and married one of the camera guys of the show.
Jenny!
Her silicone boobs also exploded, too. So
and she got that boobs out.
No way!
Yeah.
She's a dynamo. She's an amazing person. And
she's a Renaissance woman.
And she now is this amazing video blogger on YouTube, and she does this YouTube channel called Jenny Can Cook. And in there, she shows you how to make bread, and her approach to making bread, the no-knead bread recipe, is amazing. I urge people to watch it, and we're going to make our own videos about that too, but anyways, sorry, I just got sidetracked about food.
That rant,
but you know, it's like people lived off bread for like millennia.
Yeah.
And now mm-hmm. it's, you know, do people eat as much bread as they used to or did or not? I don't know. You know, when I was in Norway, it's like a Norwegian's breakfast is a piece of bread with some stuff piled onto it and maybe a piece of fruit. And then for lunch, it's like it's one slice of bread with more stuff piled onto it and maybe a piece of fruit. And that's what they eat for lunch. Whereas here we're like, I'll have fries, a burger, you know,
salad,
a milkshake, all these kinds of things.
And a biscuit.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of it's just, you know, it's what you eat and how it is. A lot of it is just perception. And I think that's part of the reason why it's important, like when you're trying to lose weight or do anything, is to just kind of like write down everything you eat, because then you realize mm-hmm. I'm getting all the nutrition I really need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I don't know. I think we just got to let people off the hook. I think we're just
let them be fat.
Let them just be, you know, like if they ask for help, help them. But it's like too many. We're just so bossy. It's like you look at podcasts and even we're guilty of this. We're all just offering so much advice. We're drowning in advice. Mm. You know, it's like, OK, Oprah, thanks. But I wasn't asking for your opinion on, you know, it's like just let women, especially when it comes to women's like liberation. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. maybe you can talk about this. It's like people just love to tell you what to do with shit.
Oh, yeah. Like, people just love to fucking talk, regardless of whether or not they know what they're talking about, right? Like, that's the whole human condition. Unsolicited advice, like, making up, like, solutions when you don't have any expertise. That's all uniquely American, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, I asked you for some talking points and things we can ask you about. And for a while there was like a women comedian saying like, don't ask us about Louis C.K. But you actually put in your talking points like, ask me about Louis C.K. So tell us your experience with Louis C.K.
Oh, man, this is a great story. I just remembered it the other day because it happened like there. Do you remember the day when the New York Times dropped this story about Louis?
Mm-hmm. And for people that don't know, he was accused and I think admitted to openly
masturbating.
Like, in front of.
And like,
but before that, Louis C.K. Held like world records in terms of like most successful crowdfunding campaign for his comedy
album.
Yeah.
He bypassed production companies and just did it on his own.
Yeah, he was like an incredibly successful. He was a very progressive voice. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if I'd call him progressive because like there was always this underlying misogyny in all of his shit, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
were you like, aware of it at the time, or were you just kind of getting a bad feeling about it?
I knew stories just by virtue of being a stand-up comic. Mm. And there was like, you didn't have to dig very deep to find shady testimony that was exactly the same as what was released in that article. Mm. You know, like women talk about it. You know, like I am not someone who is ever going to reach the level of fame that Louis made. You know, like I'm not going to see a fucking hundredth of that. But, you know, like being connected in the comedy community, you just hear stories. And so the day that article dropped, I happened to be in LA just doing shows. And I went to the Hollywood Improv, and I got to perform there on that stage for the first time ever, and the side stage. And we were hanging out in the main area where, like, there's the portraits of all of, like, the most famous comics who got their start at the Improv. And Louis' portrait was right there, and his hand was gesticulating, like, at an angle to his crotch where it was really easy to draw a dick and connect it to his hand.
So you drew a dick of, like, Louis C.K. masturbating at
yeah,
the LA Improv.
And, like, my friends made a diversion from the bartender, and, like, we had to borrow a Sharpie from someone else, and it was all very MacGyver, but we fucking pulled it off. And then they took down the portrait a couple days later, so that was great.
But it stayed up there for a few days at least.
Hopefully.
That's hysterical. I hope you had taken a picture of it. I wish you had taken a picture of it.
I do have a photo of it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Part of me is like, yeah, you know, Louis C.K. seemed really kind of like there was, he kind of was like very reticent. You know, he had like a lot of remorse when that information came forward.
He was sad because it affected his career.
No, but like he could have, you know, there's so many ways. Like if you look at the way some other people have handled those kind of circumstances, they've either doubled down or they moved to another. But he actually retired for a bit and then he came back and he was just like this right winger all of a sudden.
Yeah, he became a super alt right because he became like the voice of the not all men kind of deal.
He became an incel warrior.
Yeah, like he lost all of his good fans and now he's just hated by the devil.
Well, and I'm wondering, like, is he just doing that because he out of desperation to try to have some kind of career in entertainment?
I think it goes deeper than that. I think it goes to where, like, when you pretend that you're a certain way, like how Harvey Weinstein, you know, he was this progressive guy who donated all of these Democratic causes. And then when you get caught being a dick, you lose that community, and then you fight against losing that community, you fight against that loss by subscribing to really bad ethical types of thinking. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I had a glass of wine. I don't know.
So like he lost that kind of support network, so he went to the other side.
Yeah,
went to
yeah
the
yeah
dark
yeah
side.
Classic super villain origin story.
that is like what comic books do, like the super villain is always somebody who is trying to do good and, you know, but he
the road to hell is paved with the best intentions, Louis C.K.
And part of me is like, you know, how do we even create a world where future Louis C.K.'s and Harvey Weinstein's don't happen in the first place?
I don't know, man. How could you? How can we do that?
I don't know. Part of me is like, I've been in situations where, you know, men wanted me to hold their hand while they're stroking their dicks. And I'm just like, I just get up and leave, you know? But part of it is like when you're having somebody like your boss or somebody who's really powerful using that influence, it's hard to say no. And it's traumatizing because you're like, I'm going to throw my life away if I stand up to this jerk.
Yeah. And that's what happened to those two women that Louis was jerking off in front of. They got blacklisted. Louis would sexually harass women. If they didn't play along, they'd get blacklisted. And, it's, you know, not only are there the unknown types of like informal sexual harassment, but there's also retribution if you don't play the game along.
Mm.
So
what do
that's
you make
really,
of,
really scary.
Of retribution, women yeah. like, Gwyneth Paltrow, who certainly was an ally up to the very last minute of Harvey Weinstein or Tig Notaro with Louis C.K. or
No, Tig spoke out about Louis right away.
She did.
Well, she said he needs to answer for what he did.
Is what right?
Yeah,
the way she
and
positioned
she,
it.
Yes. She stopped producing a TV show because his name was on it well before all of those allegations came to light.
Mm.
Was I mean, so that must have been very hard for somebody in that situation, you know, because Tig. I mean, God, you know, people just are crazy about her and she's shined on Star Trek Discovery, you know?
Oh, is she on that now?
Oh my God. She was such a wonderful presence on that series and brought so much actual genuine humor to such.
Haven't watched it, so
yeah. The season with her and her scenes She's are on phenomenal. Season two, yeah,
and it definitely brought some humor to the show, which is
needed. You know, that. And then I guess she's not on the third season or something.
I don't know how her health is doing.
Yeah,
she had some health issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
she went again? Her character went in stasis.
But her character is by no means like a straight. I don't know if she's come out as her character, but she's by no means. Would you ever think that she's a straight woman on that show? For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just really appreciated her presence on that show. Mm-hmm. I really adore her as a comedian. And to me, it was like, I imagine that she must have gone through quite a lot in dealing with somebody who she was unaware at the time. She said in interviews, she was just not aware of the circumstances at all. And Louis C.K. was nothing but professional with her.
Mm-hmm. And that's how people get away with it, because they, you know, they're
not going to be monsters to everyone.
No, you have to pick your victims. You have to groom them sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us about your experience traveling with your friend Chris Fairbanks, who surprisingly looked like former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. And you guys,
oh my God,
he decided, I do look like him. Let's capitalize on this and make it funny.
Yeah, you know what's a funny coincidence is that he was Tig's roommate in LA.
Wow, I did not know that.
Chris and I made a tour. It started when he was already putting photos on Instagram of him as Paul Ryan. And then I was going to like a town hall with my senator in Oregon. His name's Ron Wyden. And then I was reading an article the next day about how Paul Ryan has done like two town halls ever. And, a town hall is like a representation of democracy. And here's this asshole who doesn't do them because he knows he's going to get booed and tomatoes thrown at him. And I was just putting those two things together and I realized, how funny would it be if we did fake town halls with Chris as Paul Ryan and me as the moderator? And we wrote a whole hour about it. We were scared because we were like, what if actually Republicans come to these shows thinking that they're going to see Paul Ryan or something? You know, like they didn't read between the lines.
Yeah, they're not always the brightest people.
Yeah, they're not. They don't know how to read. That's why they're Republicans. And so we did like a 5-show tour in the Midwest in 2018. And he was Paul Ryan and I was the moderator. And we just wrote this hour show and like, during the tour, we already, like, I had to do so much research. Like, I know everything there is to know about Paul Ryan. You know, like, I know horrible, him and Mike Pence, I know too many things about those people. And we ended up in Janesville, which is his hometown. And we were just going to get some food because it was just that time of day. And we park at this little, like, cafe on Main Street. And I get out of the car and I look across the street and we just happen to be across the street from his congressional office.
Oh, wow.
It says like Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, you know, with like an official emblem. And we're like, what the hell? And we felt scared. We're like, what if Paul Ryan sees us? You know, like we're in his backyard right now. And we go to this cafe and I make this comment when we sit down. I'm like, oh, this is one of those cafes where like, New York Times reporters come to talk to the working class about their feelings of America. Cause that was like a theme that was happening in the news cycle at that point.
Oh, sure.
And then our waitress comes up to us and she's like over the top friendly, you know, like Midwestern friendly where it's like, we're trying to figure out if you're like, you know, trouble or not. But she's like, what y'all doing in town? And we're like, oh, we're on our way to Chicago. And she's like, what's in Chicago? Oh, and I don't like telling people I'm a comedian, but Chris just blurts out, oh, we're comedians. And she's like, that should be enough for anybody, right? But instead she was like, what kind of comedians are you? Which is a weird question. But then Chris just blurted out, I'm Paul Ryan. And she looked at him for a second and then all of it connected. She's like, oh my God, you look exactly like Paul Ryan. And then she told us a story about how Paul's wife, Kathy, was in the cafe like a week before. And so was a New York Times reporter. And he was asking, working class people about their feelings about America and Paul Ryan. And the waitress kicked the reporter out because she didn't want Paul's wife to hear all of these people talking shit about her husband. Isn't that wild?
Because they don't like him there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, nobody likes him. He's one of the most hated men ever. Mm. But yeah, it was just such a weird coincidence, and we felt really scared. Mm.
Who's hotter, Paul Ryan or Mike Pence?
Paul Ryan.
Yeah. Well, he was in like Men's Health or Men's Fitness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Working out. He just looks so pitiful, so, you know,
weak.
He looked like the Charles Atlas before photo.
Oh,
Paul,
you know,
oh,
and I'm like, guy. And I'm like, you know, and then part of me is like, the way they posed him, it just seemed really, it was a really awkward, wonderfully awkward photo, you know.
It looked to me like he was proud of it, mm-hmm. Which yeah, makes he it was even sadder.
Well, yeah. I think he's a little bit bi-curious, you know, like that. What's the name of that guy who's from Illinois, who was Shock, Aaron Shock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I've just saw Aaron Shock. Aaron Shock is he was a representative, a Republican representative for the state of Illinois who I guess he was embezzling some money and he was redecorating his office to look like Downton yeah. Abbey.
It was misappropriation of funds, is what it was. God.
And so he got caught. He was forced to resign. And part of it is like everyone knows he's gay to the point that he doesn't even bother trying to hide it anymore. So he was like a Coachella and he was like sticking his hands down some guy's pants, you know?
He's at all the gay bars in WeHo now.
And he's like, he's gorgeous. I mean, he's physically gorgeous. Personality is rotten, you know? And most recently yeah. in Chicago, I saw him on one of the dating apps.
No, you didn't.
I saw him on yeah. Scruff. Yeah, and I just reached out to him and I was like, hey, looking good. You know, he's like, you too. And
I hope
that was
you took a screenshot.
Yeah, I have it on my phone.
That was my next question.
There's not much there. He hasn't blocked me yet.
Oh, let's find
out
more.
Keep talking.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
We need to like bring him out of the closet and we need to get him. Have his come to Jesus moment where he becomes a Democrat.
Well, that's how I
got
Justin.
What kind of lines were you feeding him? Like, what did you do the opening line?
No, just very, very simple, non-threatening. You know, a lot of these guys are like, they're like gerbils. prairie dogs. Prairie dogs. Sorry.
Like they're just fucking each other like a prairie dogs do?
That prairie dogs, if you just look at them wrong, they scurry back inside their hole and you never see them again.
Right? Oh, okay.
So we actually got the human Ken doll, Justin mm-hmm. Jedlicka, on the podcast through this method. So
okay. We booked a few guests through
those yeah, kind of a really through great Grindr? Guest. Well, through the dating apps, because it's a small community, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and part of it is like, if you recognize somebody, you know who that is, you gotta play it right. You can't just be like, oh my God, I did this podcast. I'm dying to talk to you. Blah, 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 blah. You know? So I was mm-hmm. just like, hi, you looking good. You know, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very, very bland, very boring conversation. And then this is where the pedal hits the metal.
This is your Trump card?
Yeah. Well, not, you know, not the yeah, ones I would choose, but
that's exactly what I chose on purpose.
I say to them, I said, we could have sex, but I'd be more interested in inviting you over to my home where me and my husband can have a three-way as a podcast. We could interview you and we can be friends. I'd rather be mm-hmm. friends with you, you know, and then maybe we can have sex if you'd like.
Yeah. This is our first date. Do my podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To some degree, yeah. You know, and a lot of, you know.
Justin did show me his silicone enhanced penis, though, right after the recording.
It was huge. Yeah.
Are you talking about the human Ken doll? Because yeah. I don't know anything about this.
Aaron Shock.
Not Aaron Shock. Yeah. No.
But yeah, he's very proud of it. But he's not supposed to talk about it.
No.
Can you explain the human Ken doll to me? Because I'm lost.
So he is an addict of plastic surgery. He considers his body the greatest sculpture that he's ever worked on.
A new kind of beauty for a new generation.
And he's a consultant for the wealthy in plastic surgery. And he has a wonderful okay. sense of humor. He's very popular with a lot of the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
And part of it is because he's unapologetically, like Jocelyn Wildenstein, a body modification extremist who wants to basically look like his face has been stretched back
yeah.
with an inch of its life. He has pectoral, bicep, tricep, lat, quad, gluteal, calf, silicone implants.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God.
And we asked
him
dick.
On, yeah. And we asked him on the podcast if he had his dick, and he said no. He's just like, and then afterwards, like the podcast, he's like, well, I don't really like to, you know, tell people publicly, but yes, I did. I did
have my penis. And now you're telling him publicly
Know, it's like, he's not.
It's old news now.
It's old news now. I'm sure more people know. And so then he pulled it out, and like, there was length there too. So it was a long dick to begin with. And then it was like, mm-hmm. it was thick. And he goes, so he pulls it out, and then he's like, see, on this side, I injected it with silicone, and then I got really hard because it turned him on. Like, he's turned on by the surgery. And then he's so then I had to wait for it to go down. And then I did the other side, and then I got hard again. and then he points to the head of his penis, and he says, see the head here? You're not supposed to put silicone in there, but I did but I did it anyway.
Did he do it himself? Is he the surgeon?
Well,
that would be wild.
That would be illegal, I think.
I know. That'd be insane.
But
that'd be rad as hell.
Andy, I do want to talk a little bit more before we wrap up the show about all these amazing animal stories that you have on your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Any mention of Siegfried and Roy and their albino tigers?
Not yet.
Okay.
We haven't done that one. We haven't done bullfighting. Mm. Like, I think I'm going to do an episode where it's like just, oh, yeah, why haven't you talked about this yet, you dummy?
Mm.
But we've done, like, Steve Irwin.
Have you done the one of Travis the chimp, who most famously ate this woman's face.
Oh, that was so sad.
It's a really sad story. It's one of the saddest stories ever. Oh, well, you'll have to listen to the episode and find out.
Do you succeed?
I think so, because we had Jackie Cation on that one, and she's hilarious.
Mm.
God, that's just it's a gruesome. For people who aren't familiar, I guess Sandra was the owner and, you know, had raised Travis the chimp from a baby. And he lived with him. He would even
He lived as a child. Yeah.
He ate at their dinner table. Wedding. He would drink wine at the dinner. Maybe it was the glass of wine that went.
They get mean as they get older.
And drunk.
Yeah.
You know? So one day, just the chimp just decided, you know what? I'm going to fuck you up, Mom. And then her friend Sandra, I don't know how this worked out. She called
The chimp was in the cage.
Yeah.
The chimp was in the cage, and the lady put her hand on the cage. Chimp bit her hand thinking that like she had licorice or candy because her nails were red.
Oh.
And then like the lady was like having this weird romantic relationship with the chimp, like quasi-romantic. I don't know, where like her husband died and her kid died. So the chimp replaced those parts of her life.
Oh.
And she was giving the chimp antidepressants because he's like freaking out because he's not living like a chimp should live. And the withdrawal symptoms for antidepressants are severe as fuck, as we all know. And then the chimp just went ham on this lady's face and bit it off.
Oh.
So.
But it was her friend who had arrived to help her. The owner. Mm-hmm.
The woman lived, though, right? Or no?
Yeah, and she was on Oprah.
Yeah, she had a faceplant transplant or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think later on she died from an aneurysm.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. She had basically, and her wounds were so bad that the hospital had to provide counseling to the people who are treating her.
Who worked on her. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so gruesome.
Oh, Jesus. You know, this isn't a real story, but I remember when I was a kid, I saw this movie where this kid gets gored by a bull.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know,
and oh,
it
boy.
Was just like, and I was just like, I saw it in the theater and it scared me because I was pretty young. And then I was like, I would think about it before going to bed. Sometimes I'd get really scared and I didn't remember what the movie was. And then years later, as an adult, I watched the movie Song of the South, the Disney movie, the racist Disney movie.
Yeah.
And that was the movie where the little boy gets gored by the bull. And, you know, I think he dies in the movie, but you don't like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like open at the end because like he's off, you know, he's in bed, he's sick. The, you know, Uncle Remus comes to visit him and he's happy. And then the next scene you see like Uncle Remus, the little boy and all the cartoon characters and he's singing them and like dancing with them as though he's like in his own little world now. So
he took him to his laughing place.
His laughing place, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I never watched Song of the South. Yeah.
Oh my God. It is a racist film, but I consider it a Disney masterpiece filled with racism. Mm-hmm. And it is like a fascinating look at the time period and the mindsets and how they thought about, you know.
Have you watched Peter Pan lately?
Oh yeah, on Disney. We got the Disney Plus. And
Disney
watching.
Plus. So you've been just like going through every problematic Disney
Dumbo.
They have Dumbo disclaimers right in front of some of them.
And Aladdin now, like Robin Williams as the genie, like he does some straight up racist shit in that. Mm. He does like Indian accents. Yeah. Mm. Aladdin, even something as modern as Aladdin, which isn't modern anymore, but it came out when we were kids.
90s, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And part of me is just feels like, you know, just show it. Yeah, I mean, you can watch it on YouTube or there. It's on the internet somewhere. Like, you can watch The Sound of the South. Yeah.
It's not on Disney Plus?
No.
No, they don't want put it on there.
They don't want people to remember that movie. Mm. And probably we're getting in trouble by just even mentioning it.
How are we getting in trouble?
Well, somebody from Disney's well, Feast of Fun, I'll remember this.
As long as I'm going to leave you with this news article that I read about. So there's a guy in Cedar Rapids who was arrested after allegedly kidnapping a woman and forcing her to watch Roots, the 1977 miniseries about slavery, for 9 hours because she needed to understand how racist she is.
That's woke kidnapping, dude.
It's so weird. And so, of course, he was charged with first-degree harassment and false imprisonment. So it wasn't not a kidnapping, because like maybe he was kind of justified because maybe she was kind of racist. Like, well, it's false imprisonment, not kidnapping. Because he wouldn't,
you know. It'd be great if they arrested her for being racist.
Well, it sounds like the plot to 9 to 5, but instead of lying, sexist, egotistical, hypocritical bigot, it's just racist person.
It's just such a weird thing. Like, okay, you're going to watch Roots now. We'll see.
Have you ever like fantasized about like kidnapping your boss and like, you know, replacing them with
hitting
somebody?
Hitting him with a whip?
Well, no, and then replacing them with like an egalitarian, progressive person, and the company does really well, and then the boss escapes, and the owner of the company shows up and is like, I love all the things you've been doing. Very forward thinking. You're going to be sent off to some far off place in the world.
No.
Oh no, the phone cut out.
Hello?
That hasn't happened to me yet. Okay. I can hear you guys again.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't. My boss is pretty cool, so I haven't needed to imagine.
Well, that's
that
nice. It is good that when you don't have to work for a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Nope. My boss even gives me money to support the podcast, so he's pretty cool.
What? Aww. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I wish everybody had that relationship with their employer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get my boss to pay for this podcast, too.
Yeah, good
I
luck.
Know.
You'll be waiting for a while.
I know. I will.
Andy, it's so good talking to you. Congratulations on the success of your show.
Thank you. Yeah, if I'm in Chicago, I'll hit you guys up.
Oh, yeah, please do. Do you have any plans yet, or are you doing a tour to promote the album?
I did already, and I'm just I go back to the Northwest as much as I can just because I like going home, you know?
Chicago does have a great comedy scene here, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. We did the Paul Ryan show in Chicago at the Hideout.
Oh, yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah.
A lot of music there, too.
Yeah. Well, it was really nice talking to you guys.
Thank you.
So the name of the show is People Enjoying Terrible Accidents, or PETA.
Yeah. And it's vegetarians making fun of people who have been murdered by animals.
Oh, fun topics.
It's fun. It's very cathartic.
Yeah.
Andy, thank you much for chatting with us.
Yeah, that was fun. You guys take care, okay?
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks. Bye.
Andy Main lives in Denver, Colorado. Check her out at Not That PETA. Not That PETA.
Not That PETA.
.com or Andy, what is it, her website? AndyMainComedy.com. Mm-hmm. And it's spelled Andy, not A-N-D-Y, but A-N-D-I-E. Main as in the Main Street. .comedy.
And you can buy her comedy album, Magpie, wherever comedy albums are sold. I'll put a link up on the website.
Andy, I think her podcast is pretty good, said Aunt B in an alternate universe. Mm. Remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people like you. We couldn't do this show without your support. Access thousands of legendary podcasts without any ads at feastoffun.com/plus.
Or join us at Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun. Or you can visit our store as another way to support our podcast and get yourself a t-shirt. Not Shaven gives me more time for misbehaving.
Hey, man, baby. Lots of fierce fashion at feastoffun.com/store. Go get it, honeys.
And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Or Google Podcasts. Mm. Or Spreaker.
Wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or Stitcher.
Stitcher.
They all sound like people sneezing.
Mm-hmm. Stitcher. 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 Google Play.
Federico Gaspari wrote in, do not miss Feast of Fun, the best LGBTQ podcast. This show is my go-to podcast for LGBT news and commentary. I've been listening to it for the last 15 years, during which the hosts, Mark and Fausto, have introduced me to amazing comedians, writers, singers, actors. Their unapologetic style allows them to tackle all sorts of topics in a fresh and insightful way. Tune in if you're looking for something that's going to make you laugh and think and stimulate you while feeling at home in a colorful and diverse community. Thank you, Federico.
Thank you, Federico. Federico lives in Italia.
Oh, buon Italia.
I know. Isn't that wonderful?
Come to Chicago and we'll make some pasta
long
together.
Supporter of the podcast for many, many years. I really appreciate that, Federico. Thank you.
And if you're listening right now and you're inspired, just send us the review so we don't have to hunt it down. Mm-hmm. You can contact us through Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all Feast of Fun. Just slipping into our DMs, honey. Mm-hmm. What does DM stand for?
Direct message.
Oh, I thought it was like, dick magnet.
Mm, that's me.
So we look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to hearing your feedback. And thank you so much for listening to Feast of Fun.
Bye-bye.